Welcome to an inspirational Sunday message from Found Church. We hope you will be challenged and encouraged while listening to this message. For more information, or if you'd like to contact us, please visit our church website, foundchurch.co.uk, or you can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
So, today is a really exciting day. In church, not only are we celebrating later on in the second service as we baptise two people, but today, as you've heard already, is also Pentecost Sunday. A day when we celebrate a time of renewal, a time of deeper intimacy with God and revival from the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you, you don't have to look too far out with the doors and walls of the church to see that people more than ever need hope in their life. And I believe that healing and hope come through revival. And many are hurting and they need to hear a message of hope. They need to hear a message of grace. They need to hear a message of truth. The world needs revival like never ever before. And you and I have a part to play. You and I, we have to become living examples of the grace, mercy and forgiveness of God. Is that what people see when they look at you? Do they see grace? Do they see mercy? Do they see forgiveness? As they look at you. And I believe revival will occur when we humble ourselves before God and we seek God with all of our hearts. Because healing and hope come through revival. And I believe that we are starting to see signs in our nation and around the world of what God is doing. Michael just mentioned a few things earlier, and that is just in the UK. And if you can speak to any other churches in Falkirk, and they'll tell you similar stories. We go along every once a month and meet up for lunch with the other leaders at the Evangelical Leaders Forum, and all of them are telling us stories of people getting saved, of people getting baptized, of healings happening. All of them, every church, are telling us the same stories. Let me tell you, God is working, God is moving. Things are stirring. The spiritual atmosphere is shifting. And as this shifting takes place, the question I have for all of us here in Found Church is this. Are we ready? Are we ready? Are we ready to play our part? I think about four people said yes. Like, let me tell you, are we ready? Are we ready to play our part? Are we ready to step into all that Jesus has for us? And most importantly, are we ready for the pushback that's going to come from the enemy? Because he will not like it. Revival starts with us. So we need to look at the condition of our hearts. And I believe that he wants to revive our hearts and give us the breath of his spirit to breathe life into us, into our families, into our cities, our towns and our nation. That's what I believe he wants to do. And let me tell you, it's easy to look at the state of our nation. It's easy to look at the state of the world and be despondent, to be discouraged, to be dismayed. It's easy to think, wow, where do we even start? But let me tell you, I'm far from any of these things. I'm excited. I'm excited for the future. I'm excited at what God is doing. I'm thankful to be alive at such a time as this. The world might be a mess, but it's a world full of opportunities. It's a world full of opportunities to do things. And I believe that as God moves across our nation, my relationship with God grows deeper as I submit more of my life to him. As I open myself up to more of the Holy Spirit, he works in me, with me, and through me all at the same time. And in this time, our relationship with the Holy Spirit, let me tell you, is vitally important. This relationship determines how much you experience God in your life. The Holy Spirit gave birth to the church, which we're going to look at today. The Holy Spirit is often portrayed with fire. I don't know about you, but I want to be on fire for God. Man, this is a hard today, like. Like, there's about three people here and two over there that want to be on fire for God. Like, I'm telling you, you're going to miss it if you're going to have that attitude, you're going to miss it. Like, I'm telling you, you need to be all in. All in or we're going to miss it. I need the Holy Spirit flowing. In fact, I need the Holy Spirit fire flowing through me each and every single day. Every single day. How's your relationship with the Holy Spirit today? Not 10 years ago, not when you got saved, today. How's your relationship with the Holy Spirit today? Let me tell you, the Holy Spirit introduces us to more of God. The Holy Spirit won't let us stay the same on the inside. The Holy Spirit is a deposit and a guarantee that there's more to come. Are you hungry for more? Yeah. It's getting better. It's getting better. Like, are you hungry for more?
Yes.
Yes, come on. See, in these days, being led by the Holy Spirit, let me tell you, that is crucial for us as individuals and us as a church. And there's a big difference between being Spirit-led and being human-led. A big difference. The Holy Spirit is perfect and speaks for the Lord. Let me tell you, the human spirit does not have the final authority. We wouldn't understand the Bible correctly without the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit illuminates God's word for us. We might know general things, but the Holy Spirit knows specifics. We should always be desiring to meet and experience God in new and fresh ways. We should always be that, not just on Sunday mornings, not at the prayer meetings on encounter nights, each and every single day. Every single day. We should be desiring to meet and experience God in fresh and new ways. Let me tell you, we need more than just a religious experience, going through the emotions and just observing traditions, because we've done that last week. We need more than that. We need more than that. We need more from church. We need more from life. God is preparing us for something, and let me tell you, we must be ready. We must be ready. God is waiting and ready for us. But the question is, are we ready for Him? Too often, we know He's there, but we don't change anything. And I don't know about you, but I'm never satisfied with business as usual. Like, I don't want to come in on a Sunday and just have business as usual. We'll have sing three songs, it'll be nice. Somebody will pray and it'll be good, and then we'll listen to a nice message about communion. And then somebody will speak. I don't want that. I want God to be doing things in our midst and to move in and working through every single person in this room. Like, I want it to be so when God moves, we can tell it. That wasn't Stephen, that wasn't Michael. Yeah. That was only God that could do that. Yeah. It's not about any of us. I don't want business as usual. No way, I'm no... So today I want to delve into the day of Pentecost and what it means for us today. And as we celebrate Pentecost, we need to also consider the history of Pentecost. In Acts chapter 2, we find Jesus' disciples and a larger group of Jesus' followers. They're all gathered together. And all Jerusalem is about to celebrate one of the Jewish festivals. The festival is called the Festival of the First Fruits. And it's now 50 days, this first Pentecost, it's now 50 days following Passover, and the wheat harvest has been gathered in. And then the first crops that were sown were now being harvested, and it's a time of thanksgiving to God for the harvest that they've just received. Only 50 days earlier, Jesus was in Jerusalem, and he was celebrating the Passover with his disciples. And then shortly after the Passover meal, Jesus was arrested, and later he was crucified and he died. And Jesus' death and shed blood paid the debt in full for all of our sin, totally in full. And when we place our faith in Jesus, we are spiritually covered by the blood of Jesus. And after his death on the cross, 3 days later, Jesus was raised from the grave. And there was this period of 40 days that Jesus appeared and spoke of the kingdom of God, and then he was taken up into heaven. But before he was taken up into heaven, he spoke to the disciples and he reminded them of something. He had told them, and we mentioned already this morning, the promise of the Holy Spirit. The disciples were to wait for that gift, the promised Holy Spirit. And Jesus was taken up into heaven, and there were still a few days until the celebration of first fruits. And soon, all of Jerusalem would be filled with people from all over to celebrate that harvest celebration. Let me tell you, God's timing is perfect. God's timing is perfect. And the disciples and the followers of Jesus, they must have felt a bit down and discouraged up to this point. Jesus was no longer with them. The Messiah was gone, and yet they were not without hope. Because they knew that Jesus was not dead, that Jesus was alive. The tomb was empty, and it had been more than a week that Jesus was gone, and still nothing. They were still waiting for that promise to come. They were all alone. Soon they were to celebrate with thanksgiving the harvest of first fruits. However, God has something absolutely incredible, something else in mind for them. So turn with me to Acts chapter 2. And we're going to read through the first 14 verses there in Acts chapter 2. It'll be up on the screens also. It says there, verse 1, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard the sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked each other, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They have had too much wine." Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say." Amen. And I'm going to pause there in that story. Remember, Pentecost was 50 days following Passover. In the Old Testament, this event is called the Feast of Weeks and the Feast of Weeks and the Feast of Harvest. It was primarily a time to remember and thank God for the blessing of the harvest that they had just taken in. But Pentecost has a totally different meaning for the Christian church. Pentecost was the day that the Holy Spirit descended upon the apostles and all those who had gathered together in that room. Pentecost was the day the apostles and all those gathered were baptized in the Holy Spirit. And Pentecost is now thought of as the day that the Christian church was born. And it's a day that was foretold by Jesus when he said in Acts chapter 1 at verse 4, "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about." Let me tell you, this is the beginning of the evangelism to the whole world. When the believers were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them, it was heard by everyone all around them. They were praising God and giving God glory in a heavenly language. They were declaring the wonders of God, and amazingly, those around who spoke different languages understood what they were saying. How was it that these Galileans spoke their language? Let me tell you, it was the Holy Spirit working through them. The people were trying to understand how this was possible. Some people even tried to explain it away by saying that the believers were drunk. I want to tell you, when you read that, this should be a great encouragement to us to persevere regardless of what other people say. Today, the message of the gospel, we can share it in multiple ways. We can read about it in books. We can hear, we can tell each other word of mouth in music, radio, TV, podcasts, YouTube, social media, and much, much more. The majesty of God is declared and revealed in so many different ways each and every single day. Yet still, people still ignore the word of God. They try and explain away the miracles. So somebody was healed on Friday at the prayer meeting. Somebody would try and explain that away. Try and explain it away. They made it up. They weren't really ill before we prayed for them. They were trying to explain it away. Let me tell you, don't be discouraged. If people don't believe your testimony, it's nothing new. It's been happening since the day of Pentecost. It's nothing new. But God has and will fill you with the Holy Spirit and you will receive power to be his witness. Power that gives you the words to say. Power that equips you to keep going in spite of the opposition you face. Power that enables you to withstand the ridicule and the taunts that people throw at you. Trust me, I've been there. I worked in that workshop and I suddenly walked in one day saying, "Hey, I've given my life to Jesus." Like, you can just imagine. You can just imagine. Let me tell you, power which will enable you to see God doing incredible things through you as you impact people with the gospel. Luke, who's the author of the book of Acts, and he tells us that suddenly everything was about to change. It says in Acts 2 verse 2, "Suddenly a sound like a violent wind. Suddenly what seemed like tongues of fire rested upon each of their heads, and all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them." The sound of the wind and what appeared to be that tongues of fire that separated and were above each person, they were symbols of the Holy Spirit. God was beginning to do something. Revival was just about to break out in that moment. And the message of the gospel was about to go forth in power and go forth in boldness. The church was born and some 3,000 people would respond to Peter's bold message. and the of the gospel, and they were saved that day. God was beginning to pour out his spirit, and it was going to be not just on that select group, but it was going to be on all people. And I read that and I'm thinking, come on! Like, I want to see those days today. Like, 3,000 people in one day, let me tell you, church, we would never be ready. Like, I don't think we're ready for 30 people to get saved today, never mind 3,000. But I can believe for those days. I can believe for those days. See, when God is about to do something, he doesn't need to ask our permission to do it. He just does it. And this is the first spiritual revival of the church. And there's been a number of revivals down through the ages. And I believe, as we've said already, we're right on the edge of another. One that I do not want to miss. I don't want to miss it. Revival will cause people to focus in on what is important. God. God. What was a wheat harvest celebration for the Jew now becomes a day of celebration with 3,000 people coming to faith, Gentiles and Jews alike. The day of Pentecost is an important day in the history of the church, and every Christian should celebrate. Every Christian. And as I said at the start, healing and hope come through revival. And as we have emerged from the pandemic, remember that thing, COVID, remember that? As we have emerged from that pandemic and we've wandered into economic troubles, wars, broken systems of government, a society that seems just absolutely bent on imploding upon itself, many people that we meet are hurting, they're depressed, they're feeling alone, and they're without hope. And there's people in this room that feel some of those things. Fear and frustration of the unknown, let me tell you, it's taken a toll on people. And we all need to hear a message of hope and grace. But let me remind you today that God is real and that we are not alone. Yes. Pentecost is when Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to fill and equip each Christian to work and gather in that spiritual harvest. Not just for Michael or me or whoever's standing on this platform, for every single one of us. Every one of us. Look around, look around you when you walk out through the doors of the church. The harvest is greater than ever before. People need to hear the love, grace, and mercy and the peace of God spoken to them. They need to know that healing in their life is possible. Every Christian has and is given gifts and talents by God to minister to the lost and to bring revival to the land. Regardless what you think, you have been given gifts and talents. Every single person. Today, as in the day that this was written in the book of Acts, the world needs revival. Revival begins within your heart and your life when you are hungry for God. Revival also happens when the spiritually dead is made alive by faith in Christ. All of us as a church collectively, we have to become living examples of the grace, mercy and forgiveness of God. The Spirit of God was given to all who would believe and have faith in Jesus. You and I, we have been called to experience the adventure of life in and with the Holy Spirit. All of us, we all need the fire of the Holy Spirit in our lives. All of us. In fact, Ephesians 5:18 urges us to be constantly filled with the Spirit. Constantly. Not just I got baptized in the Holy Spirit when I was 15. Every day. Every single day. Constantly. I pray that every morning. Fill me again. Fill me again. Give me new fire for today. New fire for today. Let me tell you, the role of the Holy Spirit is not an optional extra for Christians. He's the very essence of our relationship with the Father and the means to accomplish what we have been called to do. In Matthew 3:11, it says there, I, John the Baptist, who's speaking here, he says, I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me comes one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. And I believe that ordinary people like you and me, fill the fire, Holy Spirit fire, we can make all the difference in the world. We need a spark of revival today in the heart of every single Christian. Revival started with the believers in the upper room and expanded across the whole world. Through the ages and today, people need hope. People need deliverance from oppression. People need deliverance from spiritual bondage. People need deliverance from the lies of the enemy. People need their spiritually blind eyes and their deaf ears opened. Hearts of stone removed and replaced with a heart for God that starts with revival. Today, you just need to turn on the news and you'll see the pain and the suffering. You'll see the anger in people's hearts. Anger that only God can remove and make new. We need to pray and wait upon God. See, revival is a work of God, and as a result of God moving upon our hearts. Revival happens on God's timetable, and in his timing, not ours. Revival will happen when we seek and wait upon God. Revival will occur when we humble ourselves before God and seek God with all our hearts. And let me tell you, when revival comes, repentance and the desire to live a life set apart for Jesus will be unfolding. Submission to God's word above all else. Obedience and commitment to the plan of God, doing all we can to see people saved, no matter the cost. No matter the cost, to see people saved. Revival changes lives and it changes eternal destinies. Revival reveals compromising areas in our life, and through this renewed passion for the word of God, your heart and your life are forever changed. Revival develops spiritual hunger for the things of God. Revival that increases faith and expectation increases because people believe and know that God can do all things. God can do all things. Let me tell you, when we prayed on Zoom for that person on Friday in the prayer meeting, we prayed in expectation. Yeah. Not in hope, expectation that God would heal that person. And he did. Today, more than ever, people need hope. People need to hear the message of the gospel. People need to hear the truth that Jesus is alive, that forgiveness is possible, deliverance is possible, healing is possible, and renewed relationships are possible. As a Christian, you have this Holy Spirit in you. Can I encourage you that we need to be praying? We need to be praying. Ask God for boldness to share your faith. Ask God to fill your heart with love and grace to share your faith. Ask God for the baptism of the Holy Spirit and to reveal to you your spiritual gifts that he has given to you. And we'll come back to that in just a few moments. Ask him to show you how to use the gifting that he has given you. Remember, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Learn to pray in the Spirit, to walk in the Spirit, to live in the Spirit. And as you do, you become part of a revival and be used by God to bring in that spiritual harvest that is ready to be gathered. I don't want to miss it. Pray that God will give you the gift of tongues and use that heavenly language to pray in the Spirit. And you may not know what you're praying, but God does. Because the Holy Spirit is praying through you. And I'm praying for revival that God, and God will bless you as you walk in faith today. See, today we're celebrating people who have accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior. They've realized that Jesus is alive. They've realized that forgiveness is possible, that deliverance is possible, that healing is possible, that renewed relationships are possible. They've realized all of these things. That the God who created us and saved us from our sin also has a plan for us to live that abundant life. These people have realized that in their lives. And here at Found Church, we believe that in order to live a holy and fruitful life, the life that God intends for us, we need to be baptized in water and we also need to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit enables us to use our spiritual gifts, including speaking in tongues. And let me tell you, water baptism is one of the most fundamental acts of obedience by a Christian. It's an outward demonstration of our faith in Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Water baptism is a public declaration of the yielding of our lives fully to God. Water baptism symbolizes the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. The water is symbolic of the grave. As we are immersed into the water, we declare a relationship with Jesus. Our old self dies and is buried just as Jesus died and was buried. And it symbolizes us being set free from the guilt of our past sin and shame. As we come out of the water, we rise to a new life, just as Jesus rose to life again. Romans 6 and 4 says, we were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. And let me tell you, water baptism does not save us. It's an important evidence that we have been saved and we've been set free. It's a significant public declaration that we make to God and to others of our faith in the saving grace of God through Jesus as our Lord and Savior. That's what we're declaring when we get baptized. We no longer consider our life to be our own. Rather, we now live for the purpose and glory of God. And while water baptism confirms our faith in Jesus, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, well, that empowers us for the life and ministry that God has then called us into. It's been filled with the Holy Spirit. And we believe here in Found Church that the initial evidence of that baptism of the Holy Spirit is speaking in tongues. That is having a supernatural prayer language. The Holy Spirit enables us to pray in the Spirit through praying in tongues. You see that in Romans chapter 8. But the prayer language is just the beginning of the many spiritual gifts that God desires for you and I to have. The Holy Spirit has many spiritual gifts that he wants to impart to the people of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. The Bible tells us that it is Jesus himself who baptizes us with the Holy Spirit. In Luke 3:16, I read it already, but he says, one who is more powerful than I will come, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. It is the Son of God himself who baptizes the people of God with the Spirit of God for empowerment. Jesus himself said he will ask the Father to give the Holy Spirit to be with us and in us. It was the baptism of the Holy Spirit that gave both the disciples and now us, you and me, the enabling power of God to do the greater works that Jesus talked about in John chapter 14. When we are baptized in the Holy Spirit, we have the revelation and knowledge of Jesus from John 16. We will be led by the Holy Spirit and empowered to bear spiritual fruit, Galatians chapter 5, and to live above sin, Romans chapter 8. I want to tell you, it's critically important for us to obey the command of Jesus to be water baptized as a public confession of our faith. And I would suggest that it's not possible for us to live that victorious Christian life that God has ordained for you and me without being filled or baptized in the Holy Spirit. Therefore, I encourage us, let's make sure that we do as God has commanded us and receive all that God has for us through the power of the Holy Spirit. And the band can come. As I draw this to a close, let me ask you two questions in response to what I've said today. First question is simply this. If you're not a Christian, are you ready to follow Jesus? If you want to know Jesus as your Savior, you can pray and you can trust him right now. Romans chapter 10 and verse 9 says, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified. And it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. So every head bowed and every eye closed, let me just ask you in this room, those watching online, if you've never ever given your life to Jesus today, I would love just to pray a simple prayer for you today to meet Jesus today. If you want me to pray for you today to meet Jesus, then just pop your hand up and I'll pray for you. Is there anybody in this room, if you're watching online, feel free to scan that QR code and give us your details. Pentecost Sunday is a day of joy and celebration. And like the disciples in the upper room, you too can be baptized in the Holy Spirit today. You can be blessed. You can be filled with his presence and peace. You can be spiritually bold and you can be on fire for God. And you can be all that God desires you to be. But the question is, though, how do I receive baptism in the Holy Spirit? Let me tell you, you only have to do two things. Firstly, you have to accept Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. And then when you do, you just have to ask God to baptize you in the Holy Spirit. Simple as that. The Bible says, ask and it should be given to you. Secondly, you have to believe you have in fact received this gift from God. The Apostle Paul, writing to the Galatians, said in Galatians chapter 3, verse 2, did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by hearing with faith? And of course, the answer is obviously is faith. You have to believe that if you ask, you will receive. So here's what we're going to do. If you've never ever been baptized in the Holy Spirit before in your life, you've never spoken tongues, you've never experienced his fire working through you, I would love just to pray for you. I'm not going to ask you to come to the front. I would just love to pray for people today. Or if you have experienced that before in your life, maybe it was 5 years ago, maybe it was 2 weeks ago, it doesn't matter. The Bible tells us to continue to be seeking to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I would just want to ask you, if you're in either of these two camps, you say, I want more Holy Spirit in my life, or I've never ever experienced that in my life, I just want to pray for you. And I want to ask you to stand just as just to say, I want more in my life, or I want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit for the first time. Stand, put your hands out as if you're receiving a gift, because it's a gift, and I would love to pray for you. Does anybody say, Stephen, pray for me today so I can be either baptized in the Holy Spirit the first time, or just be filled afresh again with fire, Holy Spirit fire today? If that's you, I just encourage you to stand. I'll pray. Just put your hands in front of you as if you're receiving that gift from God. Father, I thank you for the people who are standing in this room today. And Heavenly Father, at this moment I come to you. I thank you, Jesus, that you saved me, that you saved us. I pray that the Holy Spirit might come upon me, might come upon each and every single person standing in this room right now. Father, we all receive baptism in the Holy Spirit right now by faith in your word. May the anointing, may the glory and the power of God come upon us and into our lives right now. May we be empowered for service. May we be empowered by Holy Spirit fire for service for you from this day forward. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for baptizing me, for filling me afresh today in your Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Please take your seats. Father, I just want to thank you today that we can celebrate Pentecost Sunday, a day where you've poured out your Holy Spirit upon your people today. And Father, I just pray for all of us today who's prayed for to be either baptized in the Holy Spirit for the first time or to be filled afresh again today. I just pray, Father, that as they have done that, Father, you will be working, that the people will start to speak in tongues for the first time today, that people will just feel that renewed fire flowing through them today as they go and serve you in this land that we live. And so, Father, I just thank you and praise you. I pray that as a church, that we will be ready for what you want to do, that we'll be ready and we'll be full of fire, ready to go to places that you call us to go, to do the things that you ask us to do. And Father, I pray that no matter the cost, we will be willing to go and to be your people. And Father, I believe that we will see you do incredible things in us, through us, for us and with us. And so, Father, we thank you in advance for what you're going to do, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening. We hope you've been challenged and inspired. Please feel free to contact us through our website, foundchurch.co.uk, or you can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.